The all-new Sports Cage with CFL and Saskatchewan Rough Rider legend Glenn Suter is brought to you by Quality Tire. With 9 locations across Saskatchewan, visit qualitytire.ca.
Welcome back, Saskatchewan. Barney Shankara, Kel Nenslev. We got Luke and Dave up in Saskatoon. And yeah, now our man's on the line, Glenn Suter. And Glenn, the guys are up at rookie camp still in Saskatoon. They're going to be joining here. I wanted to get the first one in. Rookie camps now, more important than ever, more important than back in your day, right?
Well, yeah, they are, because just there's such a lack of time. I mean, for a rookie, you've got to make the team in, what, a week and a half now. And if, you know, once you get to main camp, and for those rookies, that's the challenge. So, you know, I, if you're a rookie now, you better start making plays right away. And that starts for them in rookie camp. I mean, you're going to have the starting quarterbacks there. The quarterbacks will be throwing. So for receivers and offensive guys, that's a chance to build some chemistry before main camp starts and the veterans come in. But again, because of the time crunch in the regular, in the regular camp, the rookie camp, you know, you want to impress the coaches, you want to get their attention. And however that is, you know, good feet, good fundamentals, or maybe you're, you know, making plays and you haven't dropped a pass in the 3 or 4 days of camp. But whatever it is, get noticed, get the coaches talking about you in their meeting, and then the next thing you know, camp will go by in a blink of an eye and you'll be starting the regular season.
Yeah, that's kind of what Luke was talking about earlier. I don't know if you want to ask the guys anything about what's going on in Saskatoon, but to jump here, we had Arash Madani on earlier, and he was talking about the Chad Kelly situation in Toronto and how Pinball Clemens did meet with the media today. Wanted to give you a chance to talk about that. Did you have a chance to see what Pinball had to say?
Yeah, I watched the whole press conference, and, you know, impromptu. It was just out on the side of the field. But, you know, first of all, it's a very challenging situation to be put in when one person on your staff does something that causes this kind of, you know, issue, and then you have to try and still support the rehabilitation of that employee without, you know, making light of the allegations by the woman. So, you know, I think that's a real balancing act, and I thought Pinball did okay. He wandered at times, but I thought he did pretty good, and he gave us some real information. For instance, when asked if he was and the team and the ownership was going to dispute what the league found in their investigation, he was very, you know, quick to say no. Like, they're not disputing the findings of the third party investigation in here. So something happened, because for him to get, you know, 9 games and possibly more if he doesn't fulfill his obligations to, you know, through the rehab process and all the things that they are requiring of him in Chad Kelly, then, you know, it could be longer, or maybe he's not allowed back in the league. Again, that's not from something I heard, but that's, you know, it's up in the air after 9 games, and 9 games is punitive. So I thought there was some solid information from Pinball. They're not going to dispute it. There's a third party investigation that they will abide by the league rules on this policy, and the league and abide by the suspension. They're not, it doesn't sound like the team is looking to appeal it in any way. He said there's still, I guess, a possibility that Chad Kelly could personally, but he's, you know, it looks like they're going to serve the 9 games while doing the rehabilitation that is required by the league. And he made that very clear, that he, the organization, and Chad Kelly are going to make sure that they do exactly what the league is requesting of them, and then they'll reevaluate at the end of 9 games. And I thought that was very informative. You know, especially when they asked, are you not disputing the allegations? And he said, no, we're not. We're not, or excuse me, the I want to be careful to say it correctly, not disputing the findings by the league in their investigation. So, you know, I think, and by the way, the league in this policy is allowing for Chad Kelly to be in the meetings on the field, but not practicing or participating. So, you know, he can be around the team. He just can't practice. That's part of the league rule, not something that the Argos are doing. The one thing I would add to Barney is there are times, and I know the questions have to be asked and they're tough questions, but there are times when we don't always have to be searching for a much bigger villain in the room or, you know, some sinister behavior that has been going on for years and years and years. If there's a track record and that's the investigation, then yes. But, you know, to suggest that management and everybody else is also part of the problem here is just, I don't know. To me, this is an employee that, you know, based on this investigation that they're not disputing, is going to serve his penalty and do rehabilitation. Then we'll go from there, and then they'll reevaluate. So, honestly, I thought the press conference was very informative, to be honest.
Suits, Dave Thomas up here in Saskatoon at Rough Rider Training Camp. Obviously, you always talk about quarterbacks in this league and maybe transitioning a bit. The one thing we've seen here in Saskatoon are people honing in on Trevor Harris to find out how his recovery from injury has gone. And from what we've seen on the field, Luke, so far so good, but
moving well.
Yeah. Out in Hamilton, that's not the case with Bo Levi Mitchell in a walking boot. Should the Tie Cats be a little nervous right now?
Well, yeah, I think they should. I mean, you know, this is, I had a great conversation because Bo was a teammate of mine at the end of the year at Grey Cup. Yeah. I mean, Bo was part of our TSN crew, so it was a chance to really sit down and talk to him. I mean, you know, when you take a look at their quarterback room, they have a couple of young guys. They have Taylor Powell, who we know a little bit about, and then Bo. And, you know, Bo does not want to go out the way that last season went. He is adamant that he wants to get back. Now, they're saying this is precautionary, but I would suggest that when you look at the East Division, Montreal is going to come out of the gates, I think, further along than a lot of teams. I mean, the situation in Hamilton where, you know, they're going to be careful with Bo and how many practices he misses is yet to be seen. And then you wonder, how is he physically at his age? I think he's only 34, so he's not like an old guy yet. But we'll see how that goes. Toronto now with Chad Kelly out for half the season. And, you know, you go in Ottawa where they have, I think, 7 or 8 quarterbacks on their depth chart. And, you know, Drew Brown being the guy that I think everyone's real curious about. But that's a brand new situation for them. They still have Dustin Crum there, of course. And, you know, so when you take a look at the East, same coaching staff for Montreal, same starting quarterback for Montreal. That means they're starting the rookie camp, basically introducing these young guys to their playbook that they know top to bottom already and are Grey Cup champions using it. So now they take that into first day of training camp. And their entire team basically is well ahead of the rest of the pack in the East.
I think this is a massive, massive, humongous red flag for the Hamilton Tiger Cats. You don't take a precautionary measure at the beginning of camp unless something actually happened. Like, Bo Levi Mitchell, before training camp, wasn't out there running around doing 7-on-7s team drills with another team. He was working out in the privacy of his own home with his trainers. And to come into a camp with a walking boot, you're in trouble. More importantly, it's a massive red flag for the Canadian Football League. You now have Bo Levi Mitchell, who's a face and is a fantastic addition to TSN. And you don't want him to go to TSN right now, no. Right? But you're looking at, and I don't, I think I'm on the other side of Suits here. I think Bo Levi Mitchell, he's not going to get back to where he thinks he is. I think that it doesn't go that way. Father Time's undefeated. It's over. But more importantly, you've got Chad Kelly, who was going to be one of the faces of the league, where he is right now. So you've only got one face of the franchise, true face of the franchise with the Alouettes and Cody Fajardo. Then you look on the on this side of the map, right, the West.
Yep.
Don't know what you're going to get out of Mayer. Don't know how long you're going to have Caleros. Don't know how long you're going to have Trevor Harris here. You've got revamped and rejuvenated Adams out in BC, which is fantastic. But this is a league that's hurting to find faces for the league, marketable pieces that you can sell jerseys, that you can look at Caitlin Clark. Caitlin Clark just sold more jerseys by getting drafted than the Dallas Cowboys, who are worth $5 billion. She just sold more jerseys in this little stretch after getting drafted than the Cowboys sold all season. Right? We need players. Now, you're not going to get a Caitlin Clark in the CFL, but it's a red flag because we need marketable players. Like, and right now, we're hurting for them.
Okay, Glenn and Luke, I'm going to defer to you on this one. So we're talking quarterbacks today, and Corey Mace was very, very much appreciative of the effort he got from his quarterbacks at training camp here in Saskatoon. We are going to hear from him in just a little bit. But Jeremiah Masoli, is he a wild card right now? And I understand that he's not at 100% yet as he's recovering from an Achilles, but all of a sudden, if Hamilton's looking for a pivot, would he maybe be a fit going back where he started?
Well, you know, guys, the Ottawa Redblacks have 7 or 8 quarterbacks in their quarterback room right now, and Masoli is one of them. Crum, Drew Brown, we saw a little bit of Tyree Adams, and Terrell Pigram is also a guy that to me was really intriguing. You know, and I could make, you know, I hear what you're saying, Luke, with some of our veterans, you know, in Bo's situation and now Chad Kelly, who is not a veteran, but, you know, certainly emerged as if he was. And then you look at some of the guys that are banged up, but I'll take it from a different perspective. You know, McLeod Bethel-Thompson's back in Edmonton, but Trey Ford, I think, rescued some jobs last year. He saved some jobs. 100. By his performance. You know, forget about the win-loss column or whatever. Just adding a little bit of excitement to that football team probably saved a lot of jobs there. So, you know, I want to see more of Trey Ford, a young guy. The guys that I just listed in Ottawa, there's some young guys that are very intriguing. Dustin Crum hit the field like he knew what he was doing in a big way as a rookie when he was forced into playing well before sort of the normal trajectory of a quarterback. So, you know, because if you think back in the day, you know, the Ricky Rays and the Doug Flutie's and all that, those guys all, except for Ray, all took, 3 or 4 years, sometimes 4, sometimes 2, before they were ready to step on and start. Zach Collaros is a good example, too. You know, so, like, to have Dustin Crum play as well as he did, a really good, young, dynamic guy that can run the way he can run, let's see what he's got. Dola Gala showed some things last year. You know, I think there's a young crop coming through that show great potential, and Trey Ford is right on top of that list. I hope McLeod Bethel-Thompson doesn't take all the playing reps there, because I want to see more Trey Ford.
Let's go way out west, West Coast. You've talked about it a lot, and you're excited for it. Touchdown Pacific. Tickets sold out in hours. Now they're shifting. It's looking like they're going to do some sort of viewing party.
Yeah, which is unique for this part of the country, guys, because I don't know if you've been noticing, but we in Vancouver have not been allowed to have a Canucks outdoor cheering area, like party area. The Lions did it, and they had a few hundred people, and it was a real good success. Probably got up to a couple thousand as the season went on. But this would be, with the Canucks in the playoffs and the way they're playing right now, this would be, you know, huge. And in Vancouver, they're not allowed to do it because of the riots back years back when they were back in the in the cup. So because of that, this is a real sort of get for the Lions to go over there. They sold out, so the demand on tickets is so high for Touchdown Pacific. They said, well, let's do this. Let's put a huge big screen outside in Victoria, and let's let people gather and watch the game from there. They're close, and you know, it's, I don't know how many fans can get in that stadium in Victoria, but I think it was around 15,000, something like that. So, you know, they're sold out, but this viewing party is sort of a big deal here in Vancouver. It's commonplace for Edmonton and everywhere else. They do it all the time, Toronto. But here it's been outlawed.
Yeah.
So Amar Doman's got... He's got the ear of somebody because it's good to be able to do this and have that spill over.
He who has the gold makes the rules.
Yeah. Yeah. Vancouver can't have viewing parties and Saskatchewan can't have tailgating. Yeah. It's a weird world that we live in. All right, Suits. Have a good weekend and we'll talk to you again next week.
Wouldn't that parking lot be great for tailgating? Oh, my goodness.
I've never met a parking lot that's been bad for tailgating, to be honest with you.
Have a good weekend, guys.
All right, that's Glenn Suter on the all-new Sports Cage and the home of Rough Rider Training Camp, 620 CKRM.